This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Oh, look at this, Brock. It's like the good old days. Back before the Seahawks had an everyday starting quarterback and Russell Wilson, a franchise guy. All you had to do was get the word qua out of your mouth, and all of a sudden the phone lines would be full over here of everybody with an opinion. Should it be Matt? Should it be Tavares? Should they find somebody new? Should they trade everything for Andrew Luck? What about RG3? Should they draft one of these other guys? How about Colin Kaepernick? Is he a possibility? Yeah, that was back in the day before everything had happened. So, yep, quarterbacks are back in the conversation here in Seattle due to a couple of off games to start the year where their offense has simply not looked like itself. So the question for you guys is, all right, cool.
Fix it.
How do you play Mr. Fix-It on this Seahawks offense? What would you do to fix the Seahawks offense? 206-421-3776. Brock, since you are the expert here, the designated expert, let's start with you.
Yeah.
What would you do to fix the Seahawks offense?
It's so complex. You would never follow it. Okay? You just never have the ability to understand.
All right, I've
watched the film a lot. Okay, and when you watch the tape, it's very, very complex. Run the ball. And all that cool run game, right? All that inside trap, that stretch, that power, that gap, that sprint draw, that zone read, all that cool football instead of just this one-dimensional inside-outside zone team that you had been for years with the worst offensive line. And oh, by the way, this O-line, as I said to Pete Carroll on the show on Tuesday, who is equipped to run the ball. Okay, Jermaine Ifedi is not equipped to backpedal with his 5.5 40 time against Khalil Mack and Von Miller and DeMarcus Lawrence and every other single pass rusher that's elite in this league. He's not. He is equipped to come off and hit them in the face and use his big old man hands and his powerful heavy hands and smack you. And Ethan Posick wants to pancake guys. That's what he wants to do. He wants to run the ball. And Justin Britt and DJ Fluker's big old hamstring that's finally healed. That's what they're equipped to do. And you've got to do it. And in that game that was so maddening on Monday, where it wasn't negative run play after negative run play, that neuters a play caller, it was actually positive runs of 2-3 yards. That's a positive run in this league. As Matt Hasselbeck said last hour, man, when you get the chance to stay on schedule in this league, look at your odds of success. But when you go 2nd and 10 and 3rd and 7+, good night. Good night, Irene. That's not what this group and its receiving corps is built to do. So go run the ball in the complex way that it was built to do.
I don't understand because, you know, in the offseason, Brock, they built their team to run the ball.
Yes, they did.
And then they said they were going to run the ball.
Yes, they did.
So what I'm kind of confused about is if it's such a simple solution, why haven't they done it yet?
Because you got a wizard at quarterback that can make something out of nothing and has for the majority of his career. And guess what? You hit a big 53-yard pass play, and that was awesome.
Cool.
And then we hit another shot down the field, and that was awesome. And
I
we threw
respect
three
that.
Touchdown passes in that opening week, and
All right.
This is awesome.
Then let me ask you another question. If that's what you have and that's what you want to, like, you know, call during games, why didn't you spend the offseason, I don't know, building around that?
Yeah.
Like, if you think Russell Wilson can gun the ball up and down the field and take shots and do all the things that they've seemed to want Russell to do through 2 weeks, great. Why didn't you spend the offseason signing wide receivers? Why didn't you sign John Brown instead of Jerron Brown?
Well, bad wide receiver class in the draft.
Yeah, but John Brown.
Bad wide receiver
if you wanted,
free agency. In fact, your guy went
John
and got
Brown
one of
was
the
in
biggest
free agency.
Deals.
John Brown is a better receiver than Jerron Brown, right? He's better. If that was the goal, spend the money on John Brown instead of Jerron Brown.
Instead of drafting Rashad Penny, why don't you draft Dante Pettis, who was in the second round, who just played great the other day?
And that is a perfectly valid goal, man. If you look at it and say, hey, you know what? Enough of this. Let's go modern. Let's play a little more basketball. Russ is great when he's up-tempo. Let's spread the field with more 4 and 5 wide. Cool. That's a great idea. Probably not the best idea with a 35-year-old Brandon Marshall, a former Navy quarterback who's never played a game in the NFL, and Jerron Brown, who was sort of on the scrap heap. Those guys are fine for the type of offense that they say they want to run, right? When you've drafted Rashad Penny and you've paid DJ Fluker and you've made a whole point about how you're going to run the
Brown.
Ball, that's fine. Dwayne Brown, you're going to pay. If when your resources go to running the ball, it does kind of seem like once you get into the game, you should call running plays instead of more passing
over and over and over and over.
It's just
over
me.
And over again.
I mean, I could be crazy. I don't know.
And on top of that, then you shorten the game. On top of that, you play to your special teams. On top of that, it just benefits everybody. And that's not just some armchair quarterback. This was the messaging of the entire offseason. And unfortunately, it just didn't come to life against elite pass rushing teams. Against two of the most elite pass rushers in their building, frothing at the mouth to put their hand in the dirt and pin their ears back and get after you. Yeah, not ideal.
206-421-3776. Troy is on the line. Good morning, Troy. What would you do? How would you fix the Seahawks offense?
Run. Run, run, run. Run, rest, run. That's how we started.
Yep. That's how this thing was done when it was built originally, right?
Yeah. It was like run. Let's get back to that.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Having a good day in Yakima.
Well, wow. I like him running. I think it's great when Russ runs. So we don't discourage him from doing that. We want him to take off and go and move whenever he can.
Well, and if Russell's having a problem with his hamstring, maybe that's not going to be a legitimate part of it. You might have to have like normal running plays instead of Russell running plays. 206-421-3776. Grab Jacob, who's in Olympia. Good morning, Jacob. What would be your plan to fix Seahawks offense so far?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call real fast. Just wanted to say.
Great energy, Jacob. Great. I could just tell you got a smile on your face, man. I could feel your energy.
I do, man. I just got my kid off to school successfully. Got the whole day ahead of me.
Okay.
Good day.
Love it.
So I've got kind of a different outside-of-the-box approach, but I just think we need something different to save this. So follow me on this here for a second before you hang up on me. So Russell Wilson just gets pummeled in the first quarter. The O-line always plays better later in the game. So I'm saying first quarter, we don't even start Russell Wilson.
Ah.
We get Brett out there. Just focus on running. Maybe have a couple little screen passes, you know, to keep the line moving. And then second quarter, bring Russell in. Bring the run game in just as much. And that way, you saved him.
So this is like
congratulations.
I made the bottom five.
No,
hey, I'll take it.
You want to be in the bottom five?
Hey, at least my name's on the list.
Good stuff. All right, so Jacob wants an opener. You want like the Rays have done, like the Mariners did last night. He wants an opener for Russell Wilson.
Interesting.
I don't know whether that one is one people necessarily consider.
Save some hits.
But you know what?
Shorten the game.
Pete laughed at Big Nickel when I first brought it up, and they ran it like 15 plays last week. So
Jacob, I love the innovation. I don't think that's happening.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Do you want another really great idea?
Yeah.
206-421-3776. Fix the Seahawks offense, Brent.
Yeah, good morning. So I would go crazy, and I would fire Sebastian Janikowski.
Okay.
Let Michael... Michael Dixon do the drop kicks.
Okay.
Use the roster spot and the money to get a real fullback.
Ah. All right, so here's a couple of problems with it. I just want to point out a few potential pitfalls. One, I mean, Janikowski did hit from 55 yards and was straight money on Monday night. Two, you don't actually get any money back from that because his money is guaranteed. Three, I don't think there are any fullbacks, and if they wanted to just cut someone and get a fullback, couldn't they just cut the fullback they have in Trey Madden and then sign a fullback?
Well, now that you put it that way.
Like, seems like there's an easier way to accomplish this, no?
Well, you know, but part of it is the shock factor.
Oh, okay.
You know what? we're gonna go off the board, and we're going to go crazy, and we're going to make sure that we put all our efforts into getting a real blocking situation that would make the run game available. You know, if we get Ed Dixon back, if we get Fluker back, if we get a real fullback, I guess is the point, to get the running game going, run it every first and second down no matter what. Who cares if you lose the game? You're going to lose it anyway. Yep. Why don't you just figure out how to get a damn run game?
All right. Appreciate it there, Brent. Thank you. Brent's very upset.
Let's go crazy. Just put in that crazy
train. Are people reacting to me trying to be incredibly calm? Is that what's making them lose their mind and be crazy?
I don't know.
All right. It's a pendulum
just
effect.
Pick up a fullback, man. It's out there.
To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Since I'm trying to be very calm about this,
is Sam Gash?
Other people are losing
Sam
their mind.
Sam Gash out there?
Dude, that guy with his neck roll?
Yeah.
Don't mess with Sam Gash.
Sign him.
He'll put you in the dirt. That guy will just put you in the dirt.
All right, you got your third word? What you got?
Oh, you want a word? All right, yes. You guys want to, well, all right, you want to win tickets? Because we got tickets here still for the Seahawks game on Sunday. The word is kickoff, but you got to go to 710sports.com/win. Enter the code word kickoff this hour here in the 9 o'clock hour. It's going to expire at 10. To win, be entered to win two tickets to go see the Hawks host the Cowboys in their home opener on Sunday at CenturyLink Field. There are still some limited single game tickets available. So we've got two tickets. You just got to go to 710sports.com/win and enter the code word kickoff.
Mike, you can't be in between in life. All right. You don't, it's the worst place to be in anything, right? In your marriage, in your relationships, in your parenting, in baseball and football. You can't be in between. And I think those last two callers just want to go big. Just bench Russell. Bench Russell in the first quarter and cut Seabass and add a fullback.
Let's see if we can get some simpler fixes. Let's grab Dennis, who's in Spokane. Dennis, good morning. What would you do?
Good morning. I think that the defenses have figured out how to contain Russell. He can't scramble anymore because both defensive ends square in, and then you have two guys coming up the middle. I think we need to go back to more of a zone read and let Russell run. If Russell can run right at the beginning, I think that frees up the whole running game.
Mm. I love when Russell runs, man. I mean, you don't have to sell me on that. I think it may be a challenge this week with the hamstring. But look, I'm with you. I think when the zone, when they are able to execute the zone read and Russell has the threat of keeping it, yep, it slows down those defensive ends who have to respect the fact that Russell may not be dropping back into the pocket and may not just be handing the ball off. I love when they run zone read.
Yeah, there's simply no question about it. I was on, I think, the Chicago radio last week or Monday. I was chatting with some of their guys, some good football guys, too, and they were saying, yeah, this whole zone read thing, it's done. Right, look at RG3, look at Kaepernick, look at all these guys. It was just a fad. It was never going to last. The league figured out it is just done. And I said, well, I think it got done because a lot of those guys got beat up. I think you do put your QB at risk, and it will never look like the college game, ever. The defenses are too fast. The game is in a phone booth, and you expose your quarterback to way too much contact. So if you were asking if I was ever of the opinion that it was going to take off in the NFL, no, it was not for any of those reasons. But for Russell, who can protect himself, who I think is still plenty fast when healthy, it has to be a feature in this offense. It just has to. Mm. It is something that you have. It's an advantage that you have that others don't. And, yeah, I would like to see that added to all that other run game I talked about earlier.
206-421-3776. Grab Adam, who's in Seattle. Adam, what would you do to fix the Seahawks offense?
Yeah, I think, first of all, with having a new old coordinator, this is the first time Russell Wilson's ever had a new offensive play caller. So I think it's unfortunately going to take some time to get used to. And without having Doug Baldwin, I think that hurts. But the frustrating with me is that Chicago game, that first drive, we clearly run the
awesome
ball.
Yeah, it was awesome, drive, right?
No, hey, I thought it was, and you did, and both you guys. Danny totally disagreed, by the way. When Danny O'Neill was in yesterday, he was like, I don't know what you guys keep talking about, that the run game was successful. They didn't score. He did not think the running game. He's like, yeah.
Man. Because on third and 1.5, they didn't run the ball.
Well, I know, but that's how I saw it, and you saw it. That's not how Danny saw it.
So Adam saw it. Okay, so when three or more gather together right there, that's a strong rope, and I think we beat Danny O'Neill. I think we take that one, Adam. Right. Are you good? You on our side?
Oh, of course.
All right.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
That's a safe place to be, especially on this show.
Yeah, you've had two monumental moments, and in the preseason, by the way, and we'll go back to this. Okay, the whole offseason was messaging to get back to running the football, and those were where the decisions were made. That's where resources were allocated. There's simply no debate about it. In the preseason, you had like that moment of truth, 4th and 1. Remember that?
Yeah.
Here we go. 4th and 1. And I know it's a preseason and it doesn't count, but you're making a statement. And what did you do? You ran the ball. Right? I pointed out in that in the first game, Andrew Luck and those guys ran a little, you know, passing concept, a rub route. It's really cute, really well designed. They moved the chains. On 4th and 1, when they all were in the box, you were in the box and you bulldozed them.
And then you got into game one of the regular season. You got into third and less than one, and you threw the ball.
You got all cute.
And then you got into this last game, and you got into 3rd and short.
On the opening drive of the game.
5 wide.
In a stadium that was so electric for their new pass-rushing toy, their $140 million unbelievable present-day Lawrence Taylor. And you had him, and you ran it, and you ran it, and you managed it, and you got down to a 3rd and 1 at the 44.
Mm-hmm.
3rd and 1, not 4th, but 3rd and 1.5. And you got all cute. And you got nothing.
5 wide.
Got nothing, and then you pin it to the
40-yard
line. I
think that's why this bothers me, Brock. And in my list of things and the way they handle this, it should look like this. First thing you do, yeah, you have to fix the scheme. That means you've got to run it more. I'm with you on that. They need to run it more. They need to run it and run it in key spots to actually commit to the philosophy that they claimed to have this offseason and the way they spent their money and resources.
Let's get in the wishbone, man. Get in the wishbone.
The other part of this.
Bring them all in.
The other part of it is if you are going to run, I'm not saying you have to run every time. Obviously, a passing game has to be part of modern football. And a big part of it. But shouldn't it all, a lot of it be based on the running game so that when you've done all the hard work to get into third and short, shouldn't the threat of the run be to your advantage? Why at that point would you spread five wide? Now, I guess the argument back, and I'm trying to, I don't want to argue with myself, but is the argument back that, well, because you're threatening to run, they're bringing in a run package,
yes,
and then you're splitting guys out five wide to take advantage.
Sure.
And I guess to that I say, yeah, that might work.
A lot more space.
And instead, I'd still run and prove that you can physically dominate your opponent.
Yep.
Because if you do it, A, you physically dishearten them, and B, you make them think twice before doing that. You're giving yourself the advantage over them, and you're not allowing them to dictate to you the way you're going to play. You dictate to them. And the Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson, Seahawks offense dictated to the other team what they wanted to do.
So this
team right now is being dictated to, and I think that's part of the problem.
No, there's no question. The Sun Devil team that's coming into Husky, there's no question about it. You just nail every bit of that.
Darn right.
This ASU team that's coming in Saturday night to Husky Stadium, talking to their OC yesterday, I said, man, I give you one fix to the run game because they've been abysmal. They've really struggled the last 2 weeks, 30 yards at San Diego State. They couldn't run the ball. And if they can't run it Saturday night, they're not going to win. I said, I give you one fix. What do you want, man? Magic elixir, whatever you want, but it's going to be just one thing. What was his answer? Third and short.
Hmm.
Give me a third and one that I know that I'm confident in. You know what is hilarious as you were talking? And I never thought about this before. But in all your infinite wisdom there, as you were talking good ball, you know who I thought of? Who's the best third and one team in the last two decades in the NFL?
Patriots.
Yep. Tom Brady.
Quarterback
QB sneak. It's unbelievable. Like, you could say they're a pass team, and they are, and Tom spreads it. But when push comes to shove, they do that.
They are the best.
They
at
do
that.
It better than anyone, maybe in the history of the league has
Why
ever
Why are they
done.
So good at that?
Because Tom has an unbelievable
Why?
Feel
Why? He's
for
not
it.
Good at it. Like, he's not
You are so slow. It's David and Goliath.
That's so weird.
Yes. Okay. You have to be incredible at
like,
something.
Why is he good at that and Cam Newton's not great at that? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy.
But he is really good at it. Yeah. You're right. And it gives you the opportunity. But look, here's the thing. If you're not going to run the ball in that spot on third and one, could you at the very least threaten it? Could you at the very least make the other team think you're going to and take advantage
of
what you've accomplished?
So they
earlier?
Did in Denver, and they ran that little play where he comes to the right and the fullback's out there, and it was unfortunately all covered up because he didn't run the ball that well and he hadn't committed to it all game. So you've got to do that. Like, it's the only way you pay it off and threaten, man. And I've never had more fun playing football in my life than with Corey Dillon in the backfield and Olin and Benji owning people. Like, people say, oh, wouldn't you have loved to have just thrown? Nope, that was actually the most fun. Because you get to the line of scrimmage and you could just feel the angst on the other side, like,
right.
Really?
They just beat us down. It's
and then guess what happens
with
play pass? Like, wow, there's guys wide open.
Here's the other part of my plan to fix the Seahawks offense. Just let Russell be Russell. Stop worrying so much. Stop with this ridiculous idea of holding him accountable. Stop trying to turn him into a pocket passer. Stop trying to get him to, like, stop listening to Doug or whoever else says that Russell's missing this throw or that throw or whatever. Pete, stop going on with us and immediately talking about everything Russell did wrong and everything Russell missed. There's no need for this conversation.
I'm finding Russ overtrying a little bit. He's pressing in difficult situations to try and see if he can come up with a way to make something happen instead of just getting rid of the football.
Boy, I wonder why, because everyone keeps telling me you got to stay in the pocket. You've been missing this receiver, missing that one.
There was chances. There was chances. I think that's there's a lot going on. I'm not trying to cover for him at all.
I don't worry about covering for him or not covering for him. Just let Russell be Russell.
And run the ball. Like 16 times you're rushing. You can't be 20-something in the league, 26 in the league running the ball. You can't. That's not what you're built to do. You were last year. It was a disaster. You're not anymore.
Right.
Run the ball.
All right, 206-421-3776. Grab David, who's in Prairie. Hi, David. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Looks like everyone's having a meltdown right now. So, but I'm sorry. There's nothing that's going to fix this team. You know, this team was a house of cards,
and it finally can. It seems like it's coming crashing down, and you knew. And it so parallels to the Mariners season that you knew exactly the date it happened. You know, this team. Stay with me for a bit. This team, during the Super Bowl years, came out of the gate firing on all cylinders, big run differential and stuff. But the last 4 years, this team comes out of preseason has fallen flat on its face to the point of having one of the worst September records, but they've always fought back.
Mm-hmm.
And for a great November, December, got into the playoffs. Look at the Mariners this year. Nobody expect them out of it. They come, by the end of June, they're 24 games above 500, 11 games ahead in the wild card, 2 games behind. Nobody knows how they're doing it.
So there's no fix. Are you telling me there's no fix?
There's no fix because you look at, you know, and you knew exactly when it happened with the Seahawks. Back last year, their offense is putrid. They're hemorrhaging guys on defense like crazy. By the end of week 12, but yet they're 8-4, leading the wild card, but then it comes crashing down.
Mm.
They lose 3 of the last 4 games. Now they've lost 5 out of the last 6 games. There's not one thing fixed. It's at all 3 level. You've had massive player personnel change, coaching change, and I'm sorry, with management, questionable draft picks. You've had questionable high-risk, low-return trades for draft picks. You've got an offensive coordinator that's been regurgitated. I'm sorry, if it talks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's a duck.
Appreciate the phone call, man. 206-421-3776. Grab Jody, who's in Kirkland. Jody, what would be your fix for the Hawks and their offense?
I'm with you, Mike. Leave Russell alone. Let Russell be Russell. Go back to backyard football. Let him. He's thinking too much. He's frozen because everybody's trying to fix Russell and make him something he's not. He's not broken. Leave him alone. Free him up. Just go play ball.
Appreciate it there, Jody. There you go. Just let Russell be Russell.
Jody's been in the top 5 before.
She says it in a much nicer way than I do. I want Jody to come in and make my points for me so that people like them better. Can I do that? Can I have Jody? Like, I feel like I got a good point, but because I said it, nobody wants to hear it.
What if you just channel your inner Jody?
Let Russell be Russell. I just got to say it with a, like, goofy smile.
You're not supposed to sound like a clown barker, or like a carnival barker.
All right. Well, I don't know how to do it so that people like it, Howdy. What do you want in my life?
Let Russell be Russell.
Yeah.
No.
That's not the way you do it either.
No, that's not right.
How do you do it, Howdy? Mr.
Just Smart. Let Russell be Russell.
No, that sounds phony. That's super phony.
No, everybody loved it.
No, they didn't. That was super phony.
Lydia, how do you do it? Howdy can't do it.
Lydia, you have a nice, sweet way about you.
How
Could
do you do
please
it?
Please say this so that people
how do you let
like
Russell
it?
Just be Russell?
Jody did it way far superior than I am.
Lydia won't even try. And you give me grief. Oh, my God. Hold on a minute, you. You, Lydia Cruz, you give me grief because I don't want to talk to my mom about her on demand about memories.
Because my mom, the one who raised me,
no.
My mom.
Or because
asked
I don't
to
want to because I don't want to bark like
memory.
A carnival dog for Brock every like a bark like a dog or dance like a monkey every time Brock wants me to do my imitation. You're the same way.
What?
Lydia,
you want
Lydia
to
do a traffic report. Nope, not doing it. Lydia,
you're comparing
could you say
telling your mom a nice story.
Yes, it's exactly the same.
No, it's not.
Lydia, could you say it in a nice way that let Russell be Russell? Nope, I'm not going to say that. Jody already said it better than me.
It couldn't be that I was actually just trying to multitask and edit some audio for you.
You and I are more the same than you want to admit.
Yeah,
you and I are more the same than you want to admit. You are just like me. You just don't want to admit that you're like me.
Two birds of a feather that flock together. Yep. I've always thought you,
as
Lydia.
As sure as Larry Scott is a media executive, we are exactly alike.
All right, I'll tell you a little bit about what I did yesterday. I was distracting Lydia. This one's my fault. I'll own this one, Lydia.
No, this one's me, Saul.
I distracted
We're so
you.
Alike. I'm sorry. This is me.
See? Every time I do, Lydia does the same thing. Basically the same person. Very Birds much. Of a feather. All right. Can I tell you quickly what I did yesterday because
yes.
It was cool? And then we'll take a few more of these calls on kind of Russ and where you're at to fix the offense. I got an opportunity yesterday. We've talked about this a few times. This adaptive controller that Microsoft has designed for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind it, if you've missed this the last few times, and Shaquem Griffin did some stuff with them on this also, is they've essentially built a controller for Xbox for people who aren't who are handicapped in some way, who don't have the use of two hands like the majority of people do to play video games. And they've kind of taken this approach of, all right, let's think about the rest of people and how we can make a controller that can be easily adapted for them and for their needs. And there's all these different things you can do in order to play. So they sent me one, which is awesome, because as you may know, I hurt my hand when I was a kid, tore it in half in a water skiing accident. I have limited use of my left hand. And so as I was telling them yesterday, I haven't played any video games since original Nintendo.
And thankfully, you figured out the controllers today are Bluetooth.
Yes.
You know, that took a little while. You were looking
for minutes.
The cord to plug into the Nintendo.
I haven't played
a
video game in 20 plus years.
I know.
Then I went looking for the game, and I was like, well, where's the disc?
Where's the thing? I go,
just download it.
I blow into to make sure if it's not working.
I knew there wasn't that.
Is there a cartridge around here?
I thought there would be a CD, DVD type thing that the game would come on, which I still think is a reasonable assumption.
Sure.
But no, of course, you just download that thing right onto your machine. All right.
Yes.
Anyway, so I tried playing a little bit, and it's really cool. It gives you like some really different options. But we went down there yesterday. Tyler and I went over to my first time I've ever been on the Microsoft campus. And all my time here in Seattle, I'd never been over to Microsoft.
You venture to the east side, baby.
I mean, I did. I felt like I was like halfway to your house. Like there was still another like 45 minutes to go just to get to where you are.
Awesome.
But they were so nice, and we got to see the room, the studio they're working on, this adaptive controller, and it's such a cool thing that they're doing.
Awesome.
My understanding is that people essentially volunteered to be on this assignment, and they've got a whole room. They're just essentially spending all day working on making it easier for various people with this different needs to play their games, whether it's making the game a little less complicated or having options to uncomplicate the game,
mm-hmm.
or actually different types of buttons and things that you can use. So we played a game where just with your foot and your knee, you could control a car in a game.
Wow.
It was awesome. There were like two buttons, on one button on your left side of your right knee, one on the outside of your knee, and then your foot on a pedal. And you put the pedal to the metal, basically, and then just steer by moving your leg left and right into these two buttons. And so the guy's like, oh.
So are you like kneeling?
No, you're sitting in a chair, right? But your knee can just sort of move in and out. What is that? Abducting and adducting or something?
Abducting.
Okay. So you do that with your knee. Then he's like, okay, but I got a jump button built into this chair. So there's a little like lever behind your neck, and you would just move your head into this jump button for your car. Like,
wow.
The amount of time they've spent thinking about this is pretty awesome. And, you know, there's going to be a bunch of different types of people who will enjoy this. But one of the coolest was hearing about how this may affect people in the military.
Wounded warriors,
people who have lost limbs,
people
who have bonded with their units and used video games wherever they are as part of their social life, who end up being injured or losing a limb or whatever, and all of a sudden feel cut off from some of the stuff they used to do with their unit. Well, this brings them back to it. So it was just an awesome experience. I want to say thanks to the people at Microsoft for having me over there yesterday.
Why does that feel like a million times better, that fix, than this conversation, right?
I know.
You're fixing something. You're giving somebody the opportunity that they may have thought they never have again, right? And you're fixing that chance for them. And that's really cool. Good on you, Microsoft. And that's a neat experience for you, man.
It was pretty awesome. So thank you to them. And I'm gonna Taylor, I promise I'm going to learn how to play Fortnite. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to learn how to play Fortnite after I figure out Forza.
And then we'll have Ninja on the show.
Ninja's on the cover of ESPN. ESPN the magazine. He might as well be here on this
show.
Taylor,
you think you can get him on the show? We're going to have Joe Buck tomorrow. You think you can get me Ninja?
If you guys read that article about what a day in his life is like.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time.
I'm guessing no.
No,
really?
Yeah, because he talks about how just being away from
Twitch.
And losing subscribers and worrying about losing. Oh. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Text message. Big deal, Mike. I use a foot and a knee to drive to work every day while drinking coffee and fetching my kids' toast off the floor of the minivan. All right, fair enough. Hey, congratulations
to
you. I know where it's coming from. All right, 206-421-3776. Conversation we've been having all morning.
Fix it.
Is how do you fix this offense? Anthony is in Renton. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. I've been waiting for a while since it started. You guys told me to call back in 4 weeks. About Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah.
And man, I'm telling you, what are they going to see or do to get him off that line and realize that he's the problem right there? If you got a kink in the chain and you got one person that's not doing their job, that whole line's going to keep crumbling every single time.
You think he's been that porous this year, Anthony, in the first two games?
Last time we talked, you said give it 4 weeks, and it was just preseason. He looks the same way he did last year.
I don't agree with you, man. Yeah. I don't. I actually disagree with you. And I'm not saying he's been great. I'm not saying he's been a plus.
He was an F last year. It was a failing grade last year. He was the worst right tackle. He's about a C minus. I think he is a C minus. I don't think he's not an F. Last year was a failing experience and experiment. I can't put it in that category right now.
I'm not taking anything away from Von Miller or Khalil Mack.
Yes,
those
you
guys
are.
Are the top of their.
Yes,
their
you practice. Are. You like, are though. You are taking
no,
something
I'm not.
Away from
they
them
weren't
in
case. Every single play though.
Right.
When the plays where they were in, it was like I'm seeing them on the floor on the turf playing with the turf.
I'm sorry, man. I got to tell you, I haven't seen that. I did not see him get dominated every play the way he did. I didn't see him driven back into Russell on every play, ball starting constantly. I didn't say he's been good.
Brock,
but yeah, he has not been what he
you're
was
welcome,
last
Anthony.
Year.
You got it, baby.
Come on, man. I have not seen that at all.
It would help out. I'm trying to go there and support these guys.
Go to 710sports.com.
Anthony, don't
already
be like
did that. Already did that. I'm talking about Jermaine Ifedi. Like, why haven't they put in George Fant? Like, give him a kick. Let him try it.
You want to be like these guys in Boston? Yeah. Is that what you want to be? Like these guys begging for tickets from the Red Sox?
First thing I said, this.
No, I'm not begging for tickets. Nah.
This is Fenway Park. Yeah. Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this. This belongs to the park. I'm thinking that they hang it off the Green Monster.
Yep.
We want to give it back to them because it belongs to them, and it doesn't belong to us. But in reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we're looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them. Right.
We
need to negotiate here. We want. We're looking for
We're working too.
Yeah.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes, traffic.
You guys gotta watch this video of these two guys, man. It's
and Anthony's working for birthday tickets. Right. I get it, Anthony.
Hey guys, if you just have a couple of birthday tickets,
and you're right, Anthony,
for the Seahawks home opener.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. I mean, we're fans. We just want them to give us tickets to the playoff game. And look, it's my birthday. I think Jermaine Ifedi stinks, but you should just let me in the CenturyLink Field on principle. Would that be too hard? Like, don't you have extra tickets? You could just give me for my birthday. I'll go and I'll cheer, but like not when Ifedi's out there. I'm obviously going to boo Ifedi because they should take him out, replace him with George Fant. And if Fant was in there, I promise I'd never have a problem with everything he does. It's just Ifedi drives me crazy. 206-421-3776. How about you want one more here? You want Sean, Rick, or Kurt? Who you want?
Oh, I've always Ric Flair. Give me Rick.
You want Rick? Rick and Rent.
All right.
All right, Rick. What would you do?
Shock and awe. Come out with something big, whether it be a trick play or whether Russell keeps it and just goes for it, runs it. Do something that they're not going to expect. Make them rock back on their heels. Realize that, hey, we can do whatever we want when we want. And just come out there and blow them off their sheets.
You know? Love it, Rick. I love it. And I'll tell you, the number of times on Monday, and Damon had an event up at his winery, Passing Time Winery, and a lot of folks up there, and the number of times I just was yelling at that screen, like, you dictate. That's the beauty of being offense, man, and being an offensive guy and an offensive player is defenses have to react to you, and you're letting Nib dictate. You let Von Miller dictate. You let Khalil Mack dictate. You let those environments dictate. You have an opportunity to do that, and I'll tell you what, man, Sunday, 1 o'clock, these first 2 weeks I've been pretty calm and cool and collected. I've actually enjoyed just kind of opening the present that is this year with all the unknowns, but if they allow Dallas to dictate, okay, and Dallas is going to run their blitzes, and they're going to run their stuff, and they're going to dictate, I will be furious. I'll be furious.
Well, get ready for it.
No, I will be furious.
All right.
Okay, but if they run, and okay, Dallas beats you. They beat that block. They're better than you. Okay, Sean Lee's scraping over the top, and they're making tackles on the run game. I won't be. But you've got to give yourself a chance to impose your
with birth. Shock and awe.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe, all right? I just want a couple pairs of tickets to this game for a little shock and awe. My buddy... We're working hard here, too, okay? My buddy went across three lanes of traffic to fetch that thing, okay? All right, we're going to answer the question, Jerk, next. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject? Let's finish up a Thursday morning here on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's wrap this thing up. We'll answer the question, jerk, as we finish every show. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Brock, this one's for you. I think this one's for you to answer. Okay. Guys, I'm going to the fair tonight for a concert. So my time is going to be limited on food.
But in that limited amount of time, should I wait in line for scones or go for something else?
You absolutely go to scones, and there's enough of them that you don't just have to be in the main food area. They've got Fisher Scone spots throughout the fair.
Okay.
You can find it.
The line won't be that bad?
Correct. And you have to get them hot, and that is the number one of number one.
So even if that's the only thing you can get, and like that's got to be your whole dinner, you should still do the scone.
Sure. Eat seven or eight of them.
Wow.
Yes. You may have a little carbohydrate.
When should I bring the kids to the fair? What's the right year, the right age for the fair?
Last year.
All right. What's the right age for the fair?
Well, with Cecily's personality, she's all in now. Like, there's no question she could dominate it now. Yes. Seriously.
She dominates the foe.
Yes.
Like the Carolina Panthers guy.
Yes, I'm dead serious. She would love it now. Okay. You don't want to wait much longer. By next fall, will probably be perfect.
What, next fall?
7 and 4?
7 and 5.
7 and 5, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that good prime fair time?
So good.
All right. Big day for Cecily yesterday. She tried oranges for the first time. She's not big on trying foods.
Oh, Tom Wassel's still waiting for
her
that.
Teacher
day, right?
Said Tom that she, her teacher said she was one of a kind in terms of her stubbornness about trying food. She worst she'd encounter.
Or wow. Just in terms of her stubbornness, period?
Perhaps. I don't know. But she was very proud of herself. She tried oranges. We go, oh, how'd you try them? Was it good? She's like, well, I took some orange and squeezed it into water and then drank that.
Oh.
And I didn't like it. Well, no. Yeah, no kidding.
Nobody likes that.
You just had slightly orangeified water.
Yeah. You know what I love, Mike? Food.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I really want to try? The Cruz family tamales.
Hey, what was going on with that, Lydia? What happened yesterday? You were on a tamale tour?
Shopping. We're just shopping for some ingredients. We didn't even get to the making of the tamales. That's different.
When is that? Tonight?
Probably this weekend, yeah.
Oh.
It's a process.
What ingredient, what do you need to, what goes into making
tamales? What's the single most important, if you can only have one, right. Like that has to be the right ingredient, what is it for tamales?
There's too many answers to that question. Sorry.
Is it the masa? Is that what it is?
Well, that's what we were looking for specifically.
But that's got to be right.
A lot of masa.
Doesn't that
it's
have
already
to be
mixed
right?
With lard in it.
Yeah.
Other people, we are looking for it without it. So it's just a process to find exactly what you want.
What is masa?
Masa is basically what creates that outside of
the
it.
Outside of a tamale,
corn. Yes. Yeah,
that corn,
it's like corn
substance.
Mix, yeah.
Got it. What kind of tamales do you guys make? Like, what goes in there?
Beef or pork.
Sounds good.
When we do the party, I'll freeze some. I'll bring some for you guys.
You know that taco truck that on 148 that I should drive by every day, but I can't. I simply can't. It's like a beacon every day, and then I'm like, well. So I'm getting close. Maybe if the on-ramp's backed up, I won't go. And then every day, seemingly, there's nobody on the on-ramp.
It's amazing
like, well,
how it works out that way.
Yeah, I can get in and out and just scarf down that burrito and tamale. Oh. Oh. So good.
Speaking of food, Jerks, would you rather dive into a swimming pool form of warm, homemade, I think it's applesauce, or take a cool, refreshing shower in your favorite microbrew?
Hmm.
I say the applesauce, right? Because
yes.
the microbrew is just going to leave you sticky.
Yeah, like I was yesterday.
I don't want that.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, about 2:30, had about a half hour little window after some calls before I picked up the kids from school. The hammock's still out. Not for much longer. The hammock's coming down from the trees as fall's coming. Mm. But the hammock was out and the sun was out. So I lay down and then I wake up and I'd had some just on the hammock already with some just sap. That I didn't really notice. I got up and I got like sap splotches on me. It was
awful.
Yeah, like put on my flip flop and there was one on my heel. So my flip flops like stuck to my foot. Like what in the heck is going on here? It's a mess. So
you were like, who's the guy in the commercial whose hands stick to everything?
The receiver.
Yeah,
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
There you go. That's exactly what I was like.
The commercial's funny actually.
It's great.
Just the fact that he's across the street makes it funny.
I got a question for you guys.
Next question.
So the crew's coming over Friday night. The home game will be pretty fun.
Your ESPN crew.
ESPN
to your
crew,
house.
To the house.
Wow.
To the crib.
You're not going
to
make them watch football while you hold the remote, are you?
You should
Friday
probably
night,
have a charcuterie plate and
will.
An appetizer.
We actually will. Captain Tom, who was just in, brought some smoked salmon and some sausage and
great.
Some of his deer stuff, which
that
is
phenomenal.
That should
be about 45 minutes of time that you spend.
Going to have steaks
are
and all sorts of stuff.
Are you going to refer to it as the crib? Is when they come in?
Oh, for sure, at the crib.
Oh, okay.
Bob Schusen's a big beer guy, like a micro brew, loves fancy
beer. Like a hipster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So you want to get some good local.
Like, what would be the like six pack that he would most
appreciate?
See,
I don't think you go six pack. Here's what I think you
No. Growler.
Go growler.
Okay.
Go down to Georgetown Brewery and get like a Johnny Utah or the Bodie or the Manny's.
Okay.
I would do that.
Okay.
Brock or should go next door to his house. He should go to Black Raven down in Redmond and get the IPA there.
That's good. Really?
Or have you ever been to like Chuck's Hop Shop where they can actually make you the crowlers, which are like the can growlers. Yes. So they'll actually like put them in the can for you.
Chuck's
there.
Is pretty awesome. What?
And they have great recommendations.
You can go up to Fremont Brewery, get the Lush IPA from Fremont.
Goodness.
Dude, there's so many good micro.
You guys even work or do you just like know where every beer stop is?
And I don't even drink beer either. No. I can just tell you.
Where was your place? Where was the Chuck's?
Chuck's Hop Shop. There's a couple of locations.
And Greenwood,
yeah, there's Greenwood,
one in
there's
West
Capitol
Seattle,
Hill.
Right?
You could do that over in Woodinville too.
Really?
Yeah, 20 Corners. Jim's done some events there. They'll fill you up your cans and can them right there.
What have I been missing? What is all of this?
Well, you've been missing, like, beer.
Howdy, where's
a lot of people here drink.
I think the Black Raven,
Arena Sports, down by right where
is
you know.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And get a growler. And Bob would be like, oh, very thankful for that as a beer guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, growlers are cool.
All right.
Jerks, why do men put their phone in their front pocket, women put it in their back pocket? Is that true?
I do.
I do, too. You guys put it
in my back pocket.
Really? Doesn't it break?
No, I don't sit on it. I take it out. I'm going to sit down.
That makes sense.
But Howdy don't get out a lot of big booty either. So
I guess I could do that. I never really thought about doing that.
But broad shoulders.
Howdy empties his pockets anytime he sits down. It's a power play. He puts his phone, his wallet, his keys.
Yes, he does.
Everything gets laid on
the table. Registration to his car, his social security card. Dude, all right. I got it.
Bubblegum.
This is your space.
Audi's in charge, man, everywhere he goes.
Cookies, scones, everything.
He starts that off with the hardcore power walk, you know, before he even gets there.
Yes.
All power, all the time.
So he's got his chest out.
Well, remember, he took the walking class from Mr. Mintink in
college.
That's right. Yeah. Sure. Great class.
All right, should we get out of here?
Why don't we do answer the question jerk to start the show?
Like the opener?
Yes. Let's try it.
So Brett Hundley's going to take the first series for the Seahawks. We're going to start the show with answer the question.
They're cutting Seabass, signing Sam Gash and Max Strong, both of them
in for a workout
today.
Did you ever play with Sam Gash? Like, no. Why do you always bring him up?
Because he's phenomenal.
I know.
He's a great fullback.
It's funny that
I do think Mac is in for a workout, Max Strong. I'll break that news.
What do you think Sam Gash is doing?
I bet his neck hurts.
No, he had that roll.
I bet his neck got fused.
He's probably fine now.
Right.
This picture of him online, he looks small now. He looks like a little guy. He's coaching.
Oh, cool.
Oh, he was fired a couple years ago by the Packers.
Oh, all right. Oh, well. That's it.
All right, we got to go. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for a little Friday show. Brock will be in. Joe Buck at 7:30.
Yeah.
Joe Buck
on
at 7:30. Petition.
Open phone line.
All right, we'll catch you guys tomorrow at 7. Till then, the hay.
And I get to be in. It'll be great. I'll be in the barn.
See everybody.
Guys, Nomar was better than Jeter. See ya.
Get to the chopper!